really thank Jesus so much, you know. The children that came up and danced, most of them have been with us for 7 years, you know, from the first camp. And God is using them despite the past or what they're going through right now, not having their parents or parents incarcerated in prison. But, you know, Jesus became their daddy. And now, you know, they go out with the boldness and strength and use this, you know, use dance and use their life, their walk to evangelize to people. God is changing our lives and using them for His kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we're going to get our camp coming up in a few weeks, and just a total blessing, you know, total blessing for us. Every time we do on camp, you know, we're so excited because we know that so much more people can come in the kingdom of God, so much more kids can come and receive Jesus into their lives, and it's so exciting. You know, before I became a Christian, I did a lot of bad things that I'm not proud of, but I tell you something, I'm so blessed that we're good and gracious God. They can forgive anything. You know, if you take out your notes with me, and today's title and message that God put in my heart was that this, everyone matters to God. Everyone matters to God. If you take out your notes in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowlessness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And it's God's heart. I'm really grateful that we own God of grace like that, that no matter what, you know, he can forgive us. He's patient with us. All he wants us to do is open our hearts and receive this Lord into our life to be our Lord and Savior. And then God can come in and bless us, you know. You know, I often look in the Bible and often see, when I open a Bible, it's like God just speaking to me, you know. And I open a Bible and I look at different people in the Bible. And man, sometimes they're just like a reflection of what you're going through, or a person that reminds you so much of yourself. And in particular in the Bible, in the book of Acts, there's this guy in Acts 9, this guy named Saul, you know. And before he became a Christian, you know, this guy was a bad person. He did a lot of bad stuff. And he was a murderer, you know, he was a persecutor, and he was this big hitman. But what happened was one day, this guy was out doing his regular routine. And you know what? The Lord came over there and knocked him off his high horse, and he fell to the ground. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He looked up, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus who you are persecuting. And he said, get up and go to this city, and I'll tell you what you must do. And then God spoke to this man, Ananias, this God-fearing man, and he said, hey, Ananias, go over there. And this guy was blind for 3 days, so he couldn't see. He was so scared he couldn't eat or drink anything, you know, being blind, you know. But God spoke to this man, Ananias, and he said, go over there, lay hands on this guy. And he said, Lord, this guy's a bad guy, you know. I don't want to go. I heard all the stuff that he's doing, you know. It's like going and laying hand on Pastor Dominic Cahuy, you know. he's a good man, you know. Anyway, he said, hey, you know, go over there and lay hands on this guy. And he said, Lord. But he said, you know, go. He's a chosen instrument of mine to go bear my name before the Gentiles, the king, and the people of Israel. And he'll show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake, you know. And Ananias went over there. He laid hand on this guy, Paul, and he prayed for him. And you know what? As soon as he said amen, tears was coming down this guy, Paul's eyes, the scripture says. And immediately, you know what happened to this bad guy? When he's sick, he said he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He got baptized. And you know what happened? Immediately, he started to go out and preach that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Amen? You know, God can change anybody. And I think about myself, you know. This guy was like a mirror reflection of my own life, man. Before I came to the Lord, I'm not proud of anything that I did in my past. I was such a terrible person. And I think to myself, how can God forgive a person like Paul and a person like me? You know, not to tell, you know, just to tell a little bit about myself. I got hired one time to go up to the mainland and collect money for some big-time people. But when I was there collecting the money, I was high on drugs. I used to do almost $1,000 a day of drugs, and for me to be living today was only the grace of God. But what happened was I went over there, and I went to collect the money, and my friends went to the door to knock on a door, but I seen somebody come in across with a shotgun. And because so high and crazy on drugs, I ran up, and it was all snowing. And I ran up, and this guy came through the picture window like this, pointing a gun in my face, and I ran. I grabbed this snow shovel, and I whacked him right through the window. Boom! And he fell down on the ground like this, and he got up, just started cranking a shotgun. He put him in my face like this, and I got, I looked at him, and I told him, you know what? Blow my head off. If you got the blank, then blow my head off, you know? And this guy looking at me, he started, he was going to shoot me, but I turned around, I just walked away, and I took off, and I ended up collecting money across the country to Ohio, and that's when I got stopped in Ohio. I got raided by 2-county SWAT team, and I was put in prison there, and I got caught for first-degree extortion, kidnapping, and robbery. And, back then I prayed and I said, Lord, you come into my life, I receive you in my life, you I promise I'd be good, and if you let me out of this one, I'll never go back to my old life, so I'll never do drugs again. You know what, God did this miracle, he cut me free, and I got out, and as soon as I got out, I started checking out my friends with doing drugs again, and I was supposed to be extradited back to the mainland without parole, 15 years without parole, but you know what happened, I got back, and I got into more crime and bigger crimes, and what happened, I ended up in prison, and this last time I went in, I was facing life, never to come out again. They was giving me 80 years to life as a career criminal. And I remember being there and thinking to myself, wow, how can career criminal, I went into my prison cell that day, and I felt like this guy Paul, where I was blind. I had only 4 inner walls that was my cell. And thinking that I'll never come out again to see my family, my friends, my children, my daughter, and ever again, And I felt like Paul, So I went, and somehow God made me to go to this Bible study. I went to this Bible study, and God sent this inmate, like an Ananias, to come over there and lay hands on me. And when he did, I accepted the Lord. And when I said amen, it was like uncontrollable tears. Like Paul said, scales was falling from his eyes. It was like, ooh, scales falling from my eyes. It was scales of a repentance, knowing that God came into my life and I was born again. And after I got born again, it was so funny. We would go and take turns reading the scripture, but I couldn't even read it all. I had no education. And then what happened was, I remember after I accepted the Lord, man, just like this guy, Paul, when he said amen to the Lord, all he wanted to do after that, he went out and preached in the synagogues and said, Jesus Christ is Lord. When I said amen, man, all I did wanted to do is go share about Jesus, this born-again experience with people, and I go and I share with people, hey, I got born again. This happened to my life, man. And I never know how to evangelize, but all I could do is share what happened to me when I said amen to Jesus, And I would go and share with my friends. But one day I was in prison, and came across the scripture in John 3:3. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And I thought to myself, wow, I ain't here for what my sins deserve, but what about my daughter, my family and friends, my grandma who is old? And I said, Lord, please, give me one more chance to go out and share the Lord with them. And you know what? God did one miracle. I was supposed to do life in prison. He would cut me free and gave me one chance to come out of prison, And it was so amazing, because when I got out, only thing I wanted to do was share with Jesus, I'll go up to my friends from the past and say, I received Jesus into my life, and God changed my life, man. And my friends would look at me, wow, this is not even the same person, And I said, yeah, I was blind, but now I see, And God, on my road of my Damascus, the Lord would crack me off my high horse, told him my testimony, and I started bringing all my friends to church. And I bring them to the side door after the service. They pass away, and my friend, accepted the Lord. He'd pray for all a bunch of my friends, And that was my way of evangelizing, bringing people, because that's all I knew. After that, I brought my grandma, who was praying for in prison, and my grandma accepted the Lord. And that blessed my heart so much. And then it's one day I bring my friend, he was one of the booze in the prison, and he wanted to give his life. He was a bad dude, And this guy went and he gave his, this guy went to Pastor Wayne and said to him, "Hey, Pastor Wayne, my friend wants to accept Jesus into his life, you know." And Pastor Wayne looks at me, he said, "What?" He said, "Roy, you go pray for him." And I look at him, "What's the matter with this pastor?" You know? And he said, no, Roy, you go pray for him. You know, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, what you mean you? He said, "You go pray for him." And I looked at him, and he said, "You can do it." I looked at him, and I said, "You don't know, this guy's name is the Hammer, you know, and he was one of the bulls in the prison, you know." And I never said it, but I was thinking that, you know, and he said, "You go pray for my." So I turned around, I said, "I'm going to pray for you that the Hammer no hammer you, you know." But you know what happened? Because of that, I went and I was able to pray for my friend. And you know, I was thinking to myself, how can I lead this guy to the Lord? I never did lead somebody to the Lord. But, you know, God said, you know, you accepted Jesus. So if you accepted Jesus, you should know how to lead somebody else to Jesus. You know, if not, you know, think about it. You're probably not saved if you cannot do that, you know. So I went and I was able to pray with him. I probably recited all the scriptures wrong, but you know what? We prayed, he accepted Jesus, and a couple years later he died, and I know that, I believe that he's in heaven today, you know, amen. If you can take out your notes with me, and if you could fill this in the first blank, everyone matters to God, so everyone should matter to us. You know, James 5, 19-20 says this, "My brothers, if anyone should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the wrong errors of his life, you save him from death and cover a multitude of sins." You know, the other translation says you save his soul. So you know what happened to me that day? God would put it in my heart that, you know what? No matter how bad you was, God can use you to go and help save somebody's soul, you know? And I said to myself, "Oh, I ain't never gonna miss one chance like this. I'm gonna do everything to learn the gospel." So I went, and I went to my old boss, and he taught me, this guy Jimmy Yamada, how to share the gospel. And he said, "Take out your Bible on the, you know, Romans 3:23, write Romans 6:23, and he shared the rest of the gospel for me to write in after every scripture, so I could learn it and share it. And then Nuho came up with this Bible marker, which is in you guys' bulletin, and it came up, this Bible marker, and I looked at it, and I said, "Wow, this is the scripture." So I memorized all the scriptures in heart. You know, I made sure I had them on the tablets of my heart. You know, and I tell you something, after I learned that scripture, you know, God really gave me this boldness, you know, to go out and to share the Lord with people, you know, and you know what? If you guys learn the scriptures, God is going to do a miracle in your life. And we made it so important with me, because after I learned this, God led me to lead so much people to the Lord through him, and was only through him. But you know something, it's so important. We make our Camp Agape children to come back to learn the scriptures if they want to come back as a junior mentor. And they got to memorize this, because they're going to be evangelists for the kingdom. And I even have my son memorize it when he was 6 years old, you know. And I want to call my son up to come out and to share with you folks. That wasn't part of the plan, but, you know, they're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, Shani, what is Romans 3:23?
For all have sinned, far short of the glory of God.
How about Romans 6:23?
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Amen. How about John 17:3?
And this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent.
How about Romans 10:9?
If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen. And just think about it, everyone, you know? Just think about it, you know? If God can use a 7-year-old like this, he can use anybody, you know? If God can use a Trojan like this of incarcerated, God can use you, you know? And you think about it, God wants people's lives and our soul, our family, our loved ones is so important, you know? And we gotta do the best we can to reach out and bring people to the Lord. You know, study says that 96 of all Christians had never led another person to Christ. 96, you know? That, just think about it. If someone never evangelized to you, you wouldn't be here today, you know? That's scary, you know? Think about it. You know, there's this story about this Indian woman, I mean, this Indian statue story. And it's a great story of how not all Christians evangelize. You know, there's this lady, Sophie, a scrub woman, used to say that she was called to do two things, you know, to scrub and to preach. And wherever she went, she would tell others about her Savior. Someone made fun of her one day, noting that she was talking about Christ to a wooden Indian standing in front of a cigar store. When she heard the report, she said, "Oh, maybe, you know, my eyesight is not too good. But talking about Christ to a wooden Indian statue isn't nearly as bad as being a wooden Christian who never talks to anybody about Christ." Amen. And you guys know that I'm married to this beautiful Samoan wife, and God bless me. And you know what she would say to that wooden Christian? She would say, "Sole, a statue," you know? "So you better go over there and share the gospel and evangelize before I sasa you," you know? Sasa means laying hands, you know, sideways this way, you know. But, you know, think about it. You know, we don't have no excuses, you know, to go out and share and make sure people receive Jesus into their lives. I mean, what can stop us from doing that, you know? For me, I mean, there's nothing can stop me from going out, because that's my high in life now, seeing people come to Jesus. Amen? So realize that, you know, that we got to take witnessing serious, you know. So if you take out your notes with me, and I just got this fast survey that you guys can mark. Inside there, if you can mark just your three highest excuses that you see in here that maybe will come between you and evangelizing and going and bringing people to Jesus. Okay. You know, later on, you can look, and there's a supporting scripture over there, how you can overcome this, that is under the scripture. But, you know, for me, the excuses for me was my lack of education. See, when I graduated, I you know, when I went to prison, well, and graduated, I probably only had like a third grade education, and my education was so bad, I couldn't even read at all when I went to prison. And, you know, God taught me to read, and it was through reading the Word of God. You know, but what happened was because of my lack of education, I felt like inadequate. You know, I feel, you know, to come up here and to share people. But, you know, I told Jesus, "Man, I'll do anything for you. You know, wherever you like me go, I'm going to do anything for you." So I get on a phone call and they tell me, "Hey, Pastor, I mean, Roy, if you can come down and share at the Salvation Army, I'll just come down and, you know, share a little bit." I said, "Oh, okay." And I go over there and they tell me, "Hey, you know what, you're going to do your testimony and then we like you do an altar call after." I said, "Whoa." I said, "Altar call, you know?" And I said, "Oh, okay." And I was like so nervous. And I remember going to the Salvation Army, and they called me up to speak. And then I grabbed the microphone like this, and I pulled them out, and my hands started going like this, you know. And it was so funny because the music was, I mean, not music, my voice was like, I was rapping, it was going in and out, you know, and I was so nervous, and I was going, oh my gosh. So I put my hand back in a mic stand like this, and then I put my hand in my pocket, then my leg started going like this, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know. And what it made it worse is looking in the back, and all I see was the head, the halal came at us. All I seen was all the halal, the top of the head, they was over there praying for me, you know. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then after that, I was thinking to myself, man, all these guys in the program must be thinking, man, this guy's still on drugs, you know? He's still on drugs, man. He's sweating and he's shaking, you know? He's tweaking, you know? And, you know, I was so scared, you know? But I tell you something, even through the fear that I was going through at that time, what happened was I did the altar call, and almost 100 people accepted Jesus into their lives, you know? I don't know why, but I mean, they invite me back for about 16 years now. I probably missed 1 year, you know, and through the time going to this rehabilitation program at Thanksgiving for them, over thousands of guys accepted the Lord into their lives, you know. And, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:5, he talks about this, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and preaching were not with wise, persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit power, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Amen. You know what happened? Paul is saying that even my fear and trembling, you know, I go and do it. You know why? Because it's the power of God that living in you. It's not our power. It's His power, you know. And I tell you something. It's not what you know and how much you know. If knowing everything in the gospel to share with people was the condition of sharing, then you know what? Nobody would go out and share. We all don't know everything in the Bible. But I tell you something, especially me, you know. But I tell you something, when you get God in your life, God can use anything, you know. We just got back from Arizona maybe about a month, month ago. And, you know, it was so amazing. God spoke to me. Hey, Roy, you go up there and you go evangelize to this man, you know. And you go buy ice cream for all of them, you know. I'm thinking, ice cream? So I think you can never bring a piece of sunflower seed into the prison, you know, and give it to him without getting 5 years of, you know, smuggling something in. You cannot do that. It's prison. But I tell you something, God gave us favor. The warden said we could buy ice cream. So I know I've been in prison. Get people in prison that have been in there forever, you know. And one of my friends was in there for 42 years that was on the worship team when we went. And you know what? We got to buy ice cream for them guys, and then we got to bring the Camp Agape DVD in there. And when they seen that, that's my daughter, that's my son. And they were just crying, God would use a DVD to minister and evangelize to this man. God would use this ice cream. See, we got to go to all the maximum security. And nobody can ever go in there. But God opened the door for us. We go in there, and we get to pass out ice cream to every man. They open a little slot on the door. You got to take it. This guy's in lockdown for 23 hours a day. They open this little crack in the door on the bottom. We pass him the ice cream, and this guy started crying and praising and thanking Jesus. And we prayed for every single man in that maximum security, almost 400 of them. And then we got out, and we went to the chow hall. When we was at the chow hall, what happened was we got to give to the remainder 1,700 of the men that was coming through for lunch. And we, every time the guys left, we gave them an ice cream, and they said, thank you. We said, don't thank us, thank Jesus. And this man, every one of them walked out and said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You know, it was 100 and, I think it was like 112 or 14 degrees. And this ice cream was a miracle from God, amen? But you know, the people say, you know, do anything you can. You know, one person said, you know what, I'll share the gospel, and if it needed, then use words. You know, God can use anything to share the gospel. Not even the greatest pastor in the world or the biggest Bible could evangelize to a man like this. People are hard in prison, you know. Not even the biggest pastor or the most eloquent pastor or the biggest evangelist can go evangelize to men like this. But you know what? God said, go use an ice cream to go evangelize to the men. And you know, hundreds of men accepted the Lord in that time, you know, through that outreach, and you know, for God to have the glory, amen. You know, and for me, you know, being out from prison, we all need one. We got an urgency, you know, to go out and to share with our family and friends while we got a chance, you know. And for me, there's no time for procrastinate, you know, for all of us. You know, for what happened to me, I was out, I was doing good, I started ministry, but 2 years they appealed my case with more evidence, and I lost the appeal, I had to go to trial. And when I went there, what happened was they said, you know, I was looking to do life in prison, go back in, and I said, okay, but I got out and I made sure I went straight to my daughter the day before my sentencing. I said, baby, you know what, I believe Jesus let me out for this reason, you know? And I was able to share the gospel with my daughter, you know, and I was brought out the Bible and had this New Hope flashlight was flashing it like this, and we read the scriptures, and then after that, my daughter accepted the Lord, and I said, you know, if we go into prison and we never see, we're going to be together in spirit and with God for all eternity, you know, and if I didn't do that, Ezekiel talks about, you know, the blood being on our hands, in Ezekiel 33, if we fail to warn our family or friends about turning to Jesus. She accepted the Lord and went to court the next day, and God did this miracle. He cut me free and gave me back my freedom and gave me a chance to just stay out of prison and to do ministry and be a part of God's kingdom. And been such a blessing, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for just giving me a chance to be used by Him, you know. So do everything you guys can to reach out, because I'll tell you something, people matter to God, you know. When we get to heaven, man, you can like see your loved ones there too. You're not gonna like be the only person there. You're gonna like plenty of people, all your friends and family to be with you. So don't let nothing come before you. Don't let no fear. You know, for me, I had a fear of rejection before because I was, you know, brought up and I was such a quiet person, you know. But you know something, after I accepted the Lord, man, I was like on Portuguese. All I could do was talk about Jesus, you know. Everybody I came and met, I talk about Jesus. But don't let fear of rejection, because you know something, we're going to the prisons, and you know there's a lot of fear. But you know, we don't go in there by ourselves. We go in there with the Holy Spirit. When you go and minister and evangelize to people, you're not going to do them by yourself. It's God going to do them. But you just got to be one willing vessel for go over there and be used by God. It says in Philippians 1:21, it says, follow me, for to me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. You think about it, man, what the worst thing can do, you know, if we're afraid of going and evangelizing, worst thing that people can do to us, you know, they can kill us and send us to heaven, you know, that's not such a bad thing, amen? You know, so, you know, don't be afraid to go out and evangelize, and a lot of times we might say, hey, you know what, they already heard it, I don't like share with them, but I tell you something, studies say it takes somebody average 7 times before they really hearing the gospel, before they really accept Jesus into our lives. And I said, how can that be? But you know, we might be the first time we're sharing with somebody, could be the 10th, it could be the 50th time. But you know something, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted Apollos waters, but God gave the increase, you know. For me, I accepted the Lord so many times before I came to really accept Jesus into my life. You know, when I first got in trouble, when I went to the programs, and I went to prison and everything, but, you know, I never really accepted Him into my life, you know, my heart. But this last time I went in prison, when God knocked me off my high horse and I had to look up to see the bottom, I received Jesus into my life and He became my Lord and Savior. And from that time on, man, it was just that, you know, I could just feel God. See, the Bible says when you receive Jesus into your life, He become one with you. Whatever you go through and do after that, you're not doing by yourself. You're not going to evangelize by yourself. You're going to do them with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And I tell you something, do everything and anything you guys can, you know, to go out there and reach people. And, you know, think about it. People mean so much. You know, we're not responsible for the people that we're not in touch with, but we are for those that are in our lives, our family, our friends, our co-workers. So please, please, you know, 87% of all people come to know Jesus who were introduced to one friend. You know, Be that friend that can love people into heaven. Amen? If you can go to your final point over here, it says God can use anyone, and he wants to use you. God wants to use you. Bow your heads with me. Father, I pray for each and every person here today, Lord God, that if they didn't receive you into their hearts to be Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that you be so real to them, Lord God, that you would open up their hearts, Father God, for them to accept you into their lives to be Lord and Savior and be born again. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you administer to every person here. And your word says in Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you're here today and you feel God knocking on the door of your heart and you want to invite him into your heart, I just want you to simply just raise your hand to the Lord with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and don't be ashamed. God sees your hand. God sees every hand here. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand up to the Lord. Amen. God sees your hand. Good. You can go ahead and put down your hands. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Roy, yeah, I received Jesus, but you know what? I was like that wooden Christian, being one statue, not going out and ministering and evangelizing to anybody. No, I want to be like Sophie, the scrub woman, that only thing to do is to go out and evangelize. If that's your heart today and you want to say, yes, I want to be used by you, just raise your hands to Jesus and say, Lord, see my hand, Lord God. I want to go out and be used by you, Lord, to touch and evangelize and to reach people. You can put your hands down, and once you join me in this prayer, and if you raise your hand for the first time, you just repeat after me and add your heart to this prayer and believe in Jesus. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Make me to be the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. Now I say this for you to hear, for myself to hear, for those around me to hear, and especially for the devil to hear, that Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, and I belong to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a look at this video that God gave us the honor and privilege to be partner with him and to do ministry for the kingdom.
Some decisions have the potential to ruin lives. That's most evident in the nearly 6,000 incarcerated men and women of Hawaii. They have been cut off from society and their loved ones, and their families must live with the stigma of being related to a convict and the emptiness left by the absence of a spouse, a child, a parent.
She was a drug addict when she was around 15, and she had me, and then she couldn't take care of me. My grandma took care of me. All of my friends, all the children used to say, you know, oh, where's your mom, Daniel? Or do you have a mom? You know, sometimes I say, you know, I do have a mom, but she's just away. She's on business.
The exact words from Dexter De Rosario's mouth was, you have been found guilty by your peers. You have 20 years to serve. Empty everything out of your pockets, leave it on the table, and stand over here next to the sheriff. You're going to prison. And it was heart-wrenching because I'm thinking to myself, this is it. My life is done. 20 years, it's over. All I could say, there's a sense of helplessness and hopelessness.
Restoring hope is what the 15-year-old prison ministry of New Hope Oahu is all about. Pastor Roy Yamamoto leads it. His is a story that seems too amazing to be true, a story that even Hollywood couldn't fabricate. After several brushes with the law, Roy faced a maximum life sentence. Judge Elwin Ahu, some would say miraculously, set Yamamoto free. Yamamoto and Ahu's lives would again intersect a couple years later. The two started working at New Hope as full-time pastors. Pastor Roy had gone from a life of crime to a life in Christ. He now lives to show other prisoners and their families the life-changing power of the Lord's grace. Each week, the prison ministry reaches hundreds of inmates with 15 outreaches to Hawaii's correctional centers. In 2009, Pastor Roy took a team to Saguaro Correctional Center in Arizona, where nearly 2,000 Hawaii inmates are incarcerated. One of the men that was ministered to was Lanaki Kai Adric.
When the prison ministry came through those walls, it was like a glass of fresh water, a new breath of air. This is something I've never seen before, where people actually do care and love unconditionally, like what the Bible talks about.
In 2006, Adric received a 20-year sentence for stealing a car, robbery in the first, causing bodily harm, and drug use. Upon his conviction, he turned to the only source of hope he could think of.
You know, when I got escorted back with the sheriff, my life just totally, I felt, you know, it's over with. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you're real, I give you my life. I'm done. I've ruined it. If there's any chance of you doing anything in my life, I give it to you. And that's when the Lord really started to speak to my heart.
Prison provided the punishment, but Jesus provided the deliverance. And back in 2009, we got to see just how much Kai's life had turned around. His addiction to crystal meth was but a shadow in this reformed life. Here is Kai's response when asked where he saw himself in the next 5 years.
Hopefully behind these prison walls, but not in this clothes no more. Doing the same things that I see these brothers and sisters doing today.
In 2010, Kai was released on parole, giving him the opportunity to make good on his commitment to the Lord.
So Kai, update us on what you're doing now and some of the things that you're kind of getting into.
I work for an ophthalmologist and an oculoplastic surgeon. And also I'm attending, of course, New Hope Christian College and full-time student there, taking 5 classes. And God's been opening a door the moment I got out to oversee a Bible study for men who are coming out of prison and some who are still in prison. And the Lord opened a door for me to be at Camp Agape.
The prison ministry of New Hope created Camp Agape as a retreat for the children of incarcerated parents. Each year, approximately 150 children attend the 4-day camp. Daniel Gilman has been at every Camp Agape since its inception 6 years ago.
I was a really kolohe kid, used to get in a lot of trouble, get bad grades. But what really changed me is that this camp called Camp Agape, that's when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior.
What did you learn, and what are some of the things that you took away being a child who went to the camp and experienced the camp?
Well, out of the camp, they taught us how to trust, love, and prayer. One particular day was learn how to forgive. It was really hard for me, but on that day, I forgive what my mom did.
After seeing the change in Daniel, his grandmother, aunties, uncles, and mother started walking with Christ. And that's the power of Camp Agape. There are hundreds of stories like Daniel's. Through lots of fun activities and solid biblical teaching, the lives of these children and their families are changed forever. Tell us a little bit about where you're going now and kind of the new direction that God is kind of is leading you toward.
Well, I'm going to a New Hope Christian College in Oregon. My goal was to become a youth pastor and come back from college and work underneath Pastor Roy's wing, you know, and help him in the prison ministry and also help in Camp Agape and, you know, teach about God and Jesus Christ. And, you know, I just want to give back.
What does the future hold for you? What does that look like?
Well, just to evangelize. That's where it lies. You know, if somebody didn't share the good news with me, I would never know this freedom. I would never be doing what I'm doing now. So it's just to evangelize for the rest of my life.
It is with that heart of evangelism that Pastor Roy Yamamoto and the prison ministry have found great success. With funding solely from donations made directly to them, the prison ministry has put on dozens of outreaches and camps and purchased over 15,000 life journals from New Hope to distribute them throughout the prisons. But the truly remarkable number is 44,832. That's how many decisions for Christ have been made by prisoners and their families over the past 15 years. 44,832 souls have been added to the kingdom of God because of these redeemed lives, redeeming lives.
I'm just humbly grateful to Jesus that he can redeem anyone's life. Look at Kai. Next semester, he will be scholarship in him, and he's going full-time student and becoming a pastor. Investment into these two children, you know, that were with us when they're little kids, been with us for 7 years through the camps, became leaders, and God used them to evangelize to the rest of the children and you today. God can change anyone's life. I'm really grateful to that. You know, I'm grateful for this church and you folks praying and partnering with us. And none of this would happen if it wasn't having the covering of you guys' prayers and partnering with us in a ministry like this. You know, only God could do something like this in a ministry like this. And I pray that we get a camp coming up. I pray that there's other 150 children that come to the camp, that 100% of them would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So if you're interested in serving at a camp, and we're going to take one offering if you can help support the ministry so we can go, I promise you every single penny you get, we're going to use it to go win more souls for the kingdom of God. So if God put it in your heart, and if you can, then we really truly appreciate your support and praying for us. And let's bow your head for this offering. Father, we just come before you this day, Lord, thanking you, Father God, that we can be a congregation that will shoulder the cross together. They'll reach out and reach out to people, Lord God, that you love so very much. Father, your word says in James that pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is to visit orphans and widows in distress and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Father, thank you that we can be a partner in something that you call pure religion, Lord God, reaching out, Lord, to the lost and to the hurting. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would just bless this time and this tithes, Lord, and, Father, that you would just be glorified in this camp and to the ministry that we'll continue doing for you. Lord, we love you with all our hearts, and we pray that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you praise, all that I adore is in you. See,
let's all stand. We want to say thank you. Thank you for being such a generous people of God as you continue to support and give, and not just of your offerings, but of your prayer and love and support, your service as we partner together. By the way, if you said yes to the Lord and you prayed to receive Christ today, or you rededicated your heart, you've never picked up a yes packet, please do so. And there's going to be people, and here's Gary and Orange and others outside that'll be holding this up. Please pick one of those up, and we'd love to partner with you in your continued growth with the Lord Jesus, your relationship. Do you mind? Let's bring Roy out. Let's pray for him. How's that? He's given so much to you. Come on, Pastor Roy. Oh, you big, bro. Like, wow. I used to be big like him when I was in high school. I wasn't as bad as him, though. Would you mind stretching your hands as we pray a blessing over Roy and the team and over the church? And let's keep in mind the reason why we're praying is for that, but also the many souls. God has put just a great, great heart in Roy and the team. And that heart should be in all of us, as Roy's taught us to do the work of an evangelist. Father, thank you for Roy. Thank you for his wife, Shar, and for Shawnee. Thank you for his daughter, Kristen. And thank you for their family. Thank you for your hand upon them. You are a faithful God, and I know that they are trusting you, Lord, with their lives, their marriage, home, and just keep them under the shelter of your wing. Lord, thank you for his ministry, and thank you for all of the wonderful brothers and sisters who are partnering, Lord, over the years, continuing to partner the prison ministry with Camp Agape, with going into the prisons, and all of the incredible ministry that takes place. Lord, we thank you that we get to be a part of the ministry and connect our hearts to the souls that are being reached. Thank you for the families, the children that are being touched and reached. And Lord, we believe that more and more will come to know you. Lord, we thank you so much for the gifts that have been given. And would you bless it, multiply it, God, for the sake of your kingdom's reach into the hearts and lives of those who don't know you. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we all say, amen.